Hi, I'm Amelia and I'm 5 years old.
Hi, I'm Zosha and I'm 8 years old.
Hi everyone, this is Mommy.
What's up everyone, I'm Daddy.
And you're listening to...
It's Movie Night.
And this week we watched Transformers.
DreamWorks Pictures put out this sci-fi toy adaptation in 2007. It's rated PG-13 and has a runtime of 2 hours and 24 minutes. Some other movies DreamWorks released around this time were Shrek the Third and Stardust.
Amelia, what would you say this movie's about?
It's about a town who gets robots inside there, and they're called Transformers. And they're there for because there's a boy who has his grandfather's glasses, and they want grandfather's glasses.
Why do they want his glasses?
But yeah, you're on the right path.
Yeah, it's got a map inside of his glasses that leads to a bad thing that they want. But this movie is about a young man named Sam who has to stop an evil group of alien robots called the Decepticons from taking over Earth. But he's not alone. He has his friend Michaela, the U.S. Army, and a group of friendly robots called the Autobots.
Or Transformers. Some familiar faces in this movie. Sam Witwicky is played by Shia LaBeouf. He is Stanley Yelnats in Holes, Cody Maverick in Surf's Up, but I remember him the most as Lewis Stevens from Disney Channel's Even Stevens. Michaela Baines is played by Megan Fox. She is April O'Neil in the 2004 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise. And parents, you might remember her as Jennifer from Jennifer's Body. Optimus Prime is voiced by Peter Cullen, who has been Optimus Prime since 1984 when Transformers the cartoon came out. One that we thought was funny is he is also the voice of Eeyore, and he has been since 1988.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, I was like, wow, talk about two different characters. And then the third one we've heard him as, he's the voice of the Predator.
In the Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So he's got the clicking down, too.
He also does the voice of a Mogwai and the Gremlins in the Gremlins movie.
So we've heard his voice way more than we thought.
Yes, we have.
Nice. Megatron is voiced by Hugo Weaving. He is Rex in Babe. He's the Red Skull from Captain America, the First Avenger. I know him the most as Elrond from the Lord of the Rings franchise. He's also Agent Smith in the Matrix franchise.
And then the director of this movie is Michael Bay. He started with music videos.
Really?
Yeah, he did music videos for Vanilla Ice, Styx, Tina Turner, Lionel Richie, and Meatloaf.
Wide variety, that's for sure.
Very wide variety. And then he did movies like Bad Boys 1 and 2, which I enjoy, The Rock, which I enjoy, Armageddon, Pearl Harbor, and more recently, Ambulance.
So he definitely loves explosions.
And slow motion, and quick cuts, and...
walking away from fire, got all that, all those typical action movie things.
Yes, very much so. So like you said, Mommy, this movie came out in 2007. Do you remember what age you were the first time you saw it? Did you see it in theaters? And do you remember liking it?
I did see this in theater, so I had to have been 2007, 14 or 15,
okay.
Somewhere around there. I think I was 15. I remember liking it when it first came out.
Okay.
I thought it was a good popcorn movie. What about you?
I did see this in theaters as well. I was 17 at the time, and I loved it. I mean, it's got Megan Fox, so for a young man, seeing that on screen, that was awesome. It's got explosions, got robots. I mean, it got everything that a young man wanted to see in a movie at the time. So I loved it.
Yeah, you could tell that this movie was definitely aimed at teenage boys.
Absolutely.
And this is the first time that both of our girls are watching it, so at 8 and 5.
Correct. And this is one of those movies that is based off of a toy. And, you know, there's movies that are based off toys and games like Clue, Dungeons and Dragons, G.I. Joe, Battleship. Ouija is a weird one, but one that we saw last year that Amelia really likes.
Barbie.
Yes, we loved Barbie, but especially Amelia. We would wake up to find her playing this already on her Voodoo first thing in the morning. So yeah. I think she has watched it the most out of all of us.
And do you think that this is a good representation of what it came from, Mommy? Like, this is what you expected out of a Transformers movie, like the other movies, like Battleship. I didn't expect Battleship to be what it was.
I thought they looked really cool, especially for 2007. I think they did a good job. I really like the way they made the faces look, especially on Optimus Prime with his eyes and everything. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't know. I don't know if it was the greatest adaptation, especially once you remember the cartoon. They could have done better.
I think this was a pretty good adaptation. I never realized how long it was until this more recent watch that we did.
Same.
But I remember liking it a lot, and I think that it was a pretty good adaptation. Let's talk some favorite scenes in the movie. Amelia, you had mentioned a scene you liked. What was it?
When the girl goes to the guy's house, and then the boy yells at his grandma.
Maggie!
Listen, I need
you. No! This is my private area, my place of zen and peace.
Listen to me.
Shut up, grandma! What are you doing here?
Just give me a break, will you?
Grandma, drink your prune juice!
It is a very funny scene, because it's what I imagine any house is when somebody comes in and you're like, just be quiet.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it was very funny. We all giggled at it. One of my favorite scenes is when Michaela and Sam are in the car, and Michaela makes a comment of,
you know what I don't understand? Why, if he's supposed to be like this super advanced robot, does he transform back into this piece of crap Camaro?
And then Bumblebee kicks them out of the car.
See? Fantastic. Now you pissed him off. That car is sensitive. I mean, $4,000 just drove off.
And then he sees a nicer, newer car that's shiny, and he like...
It's like a new yellow Camaro that he almost body scans.
Yeah, and then he comes back and it's got some cool music and Sam's really excited because he's got a nice car now. So yeah, it was one of my favorite scenes when I first saw this movie, and I still liked it this time.
It's Bumblebee's glow up, y'all.
It is.
So much like Amelia, I liked another scene, but this one had Bernie Mac in it, and it involves him yelling at, I don't know if it's his aunt, his wife, his grandma.
I think he says like his meemaw or
something. Yeah, he says,
like,
it might be his grandma too, so I don't know why there's so much grandma shaming in this movie, but yeah.
That's my mammy.
Hey, mammy! Oh, don't be like that. If I had a rock, I'll bust your head.
That is really funny. I can't say the quote that he says, but parents, you'll like that one. It's funny.
It was a very funny scene.
Yes, but the ultimate for me is when you finally hear Optimus Prime say, Autobots, roll out. And you're like, oh.
Autobots, roll out. We roll.
Yes, let's go.
He said the thing.
He said the thing.
So let's talk some positives. I thought that it was really cool seeing these characters come to life. I didn't watch the show growing up. I was the generation after the show came out, but it's still cool. I like the transforming process. All the different vehicles are cool. Like, these Transformers are tanks and fighter jets and semi-trucks. And, of course, Bumblebee is the Camaro, like you said, Mommy.
It is. It's really cool. I particularly like the planes. Just watching them transform in midair. Like, yeah. That was a really cool scene.
Yeah, he's, like, fighting and jumping between the planes. And, like, yeah, he's going against our team. He's going against humans, but... That was a cool scene.
But it's still cool, and he does the same thing that Bumblebee did and, like, scans the U.S. fighter jets to mimic them so they don't know who to shoot at, who to retaliate against, and it was just some good battle planning right there.
It is, and I also like the CGI in this movie. It's weird because the CGI is also a negative that I'll mention in a little bit, but I thought that everything looked pretty realistic, like the way the light hits everything and the way that the shadows work. I thought it all looked pretty realistic, like this is how it would look in real life.
It was deceptively good.
I see what you did there.
Ah. I really liked the phrase that Sam's family had, the, oh, I know, Dad, no sacrifice, no victory. But that's a really positive message because it's true. You work hard to get what you want, right? But there's a lot of protection theme in this movie. The dad defends his son. Bumblebee protects Sam. Optimus talks about sacrificing himself to save the world. Like, these are all very positive messages for kids.
It is a very good message. The no sacrifice, no victory is relatable for everyone. I mean, who wants to really go to work? Probably not a lot of people actually want to go. So you're sacrificing your time that you could be doing something at home or time that you could be doing anything else. But your victory is that paycheck. You're going to be able to do things with your family later on, like go on vacations. Like, that's your sacrifice for your victory, and that's very relatable.
It is. You want to buy your first house. You want to get that first car. And, I mean, that's how we're introduced to it. Sam straight up says, I know, Dad. No sacrifice, no victory. Because he needed, what, 2 A's, and he couldn't get into trouble. He put that time in. He got to go pick out a car with his dad.
It was 2 A's, and he needed to bring $2,000 to his dad.
Oh, yes. He had to make $2,000.
Yes.
Did he get the car he wanted? No. But you got to start somewhere.
He did get the car he wanted because all the other cars were broken.
Yes, but still, he drove past that Porsche dealer initially.
That was a funny joke. That's another funny scene in the movie.
It's a good dad scene. Amelia, you said you liked something about the dad, right?
It's every time when people step inside his grass, he says, get on my path.
Oh, Sam, what? I do not like footprints on my grass.
What foot? There's no footprints.
That's why I built my path.
So why don't you go from my grass onto my path, okay?
It's family grass, Dad.
Yeah, well, when you own your own grass, you'll understand.
And that brings up the acting in this movie. Kevin Dunn plays Shia LaBeouf's dad, and he's a really good dad actor. He, like, just that role. He plays Principal Zito in the movie Warrior, and we love that character. I just love that he is always supportive of everybody he's with in the movies.
He plays a good dad.
And then his wife, who's played by Julie White, I don't know her from anything else, but them as a couple, they just played off each other so well. I thought their chemistry was great.
They were very believable as a married couple.
Yeah, I liked them a lot. And then the circle back to Shia LaBeouf, I thought he did a really good job in this movie. I always felt his pain. I always felt when he was flustered and when he was nervous, when he was talking to Michaela. I just thought he was a very good actor in this movie, especially for a young actor at the time.
He was very good at his expression.
He was. Another good actor, John Voight. I know him most as Coach Kilmer from Varsity Blues.
Yes.
However, he was like the Secretary of Defense, and I thought he was very believable in this role. For something that you would normally picture the president being the person that is addressing everything in the movie, Secretary of Defense as him, he did an awesome job.
Oh, yeah. He's straight to business.
And then lastly, John Turturro, who we mostly know as Emilio from Mr. Deeds.
With his black foot.
Yes, the frostbite. And then he's also the Jesus from The Big Lebowski. Like, the fact that this guy can do those roles and then do something like Carmine Falcone from The Batman just blows my mind.
He has amazing range. Like, he goes from super silly, crazy, manic characters and, like, anger management to this. He's playing a government agent. He's a serious person. And then, like you said, he was a mobster. Like, he's got a great resume.
He does. And like I said, you know, this is the positive, is that the acting in this movie does have its laughable moments from certain characters, but there are those other characters that just shine above the rest.
It makes it solid overall. Speaking of laughable moments, let's segue here into negatives.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh Duhamel, love him. However, his character says something that made me like double take completely in this movie. Like, what are you talking about? And it's when they're going to hide this cube, right? And they're taking it out of the secluded place-ish that it was in.
Mission City is 22 miles away. We're going to sneak that cube out of here, and we're going to hide it somewhere in the city. Good.
What? What? Yeah. You mean you want to bring it to where there's more people and all these Decepticons are descending upon you and they don't care about hurting humans? Hold on.
Yeah, we've seen the destruction that these Transformers have caused, good and bad. You know, good being, you know, Optimus Prime is even climbing down buildings and just ruining all this stuff. You had made a comment about, man, these insurance people are probably going to be like, what are we going to do?
We did. We said everybody's going to look like the Matthew McConaughey and the Ben Affleck memes where they're just like, oh,
super stressed.
God, here we go. I thought you were supposed to be a super smart military tactic dude. Wouldn't you want to go out into the desert or something where there's nothing to be destroyed?
Yeah, even bad movies like I think Batman v Superman is the one where they say, hey, let's have this final battle on this area because there's less people. It might have been Batman v Superman, or I can't remember what it was, but like, something along those lines.
Yeah, it's because it's like, listen, Metropolis has seen enough. We need to get away from
yes,
here. How many
exactly.
times are we going to rebuild the same city?
So I'm going to say Michael Bay and his writers definitely had a bad call on that.
They did, because it makes you scratch your head at, like, who wrote that? That doesn't make sense.
And speaking of the writers, the pacing of this movie is my negative. It is so bad. In the beginning of the movie, I think it's done pretty well. You're setting up these characters. You get like 5 minutes at a time with them. It's moving along. And then somewhere in the last half of the first act, up until the third act, you're just like, let's get on with this. Let's keep it going. Let's move. Because the runtime, like you said, 2 hours and 24 minutes, too long for some little
Way
kids.
Way too long. It was too long for me at one point. I was like, I don't remember this ever being so long.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a bad movie in terms of, you know, what we're being presented with. It's just, it could use a re-edit, pretty much, is what it comes down to for me.
Especially because there is just so much nonstop fighting. It goes on for so long that you're almost like, you can zone out and come back in and be like, I don't even know where I left off, because we're just at another fight scene.
Yeah, I think there was a point where Amelia and your mom wanted to leave because Amelia was like, I'm kind of done with this movie. And I had to convince her, like, hey, we're covering this for the podcast. We kind of have to finish it, even if you don't like it.
She did. She straight up said, there's way too much fighting in this movie. I'm bored. I'm out.
Yeah. And, you know, you brought up the fighting just now. That brings me to the point of the CGI that I said is something that's bad, is sometimes when these Transformers are fighting together, you can't tell which one is which. And they do have, you know, some paint jobs, like Optimus Prime is blue and red, and I think Ratchet is like a neon yellow. But for the most part, some of them are tanks. They're black or they're like dark green. You can't really tell who's who.
They're all different shades of silver, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Even though the CGI itself looks good, when they are fighting, it's a mess and you can't tell what's going on.
It all kind of meshes together. And yeah, it makes it hard to be like, where does one Autobot end and a Decepticon begin? So my biggest bugaboo with this movie is the female representation. And there are two sides to this. So first off, we'll just talk about representation, period. There's only two, maybe three, if you count his mom, for the most part, main characters in this movie that are women. Mm-hmm. But we don't see any of them in the military.
No.
And I thought that was odd because we know women, family members that were in the military. Yeah. And that is a very common thing. So out of all these soldiers and all these bases and even the military meetings, like, how is no one on any of these panels female? So that was like, eh, and that's not great, guys. It's not a good look.
No, it's not. And that's definitely a weakness of Michael Bay. He doesn't really do that for his movies.
No. And then with that, the female characters that they did have, again, outside of the mom, were Michaela and Maggie. And Maggie was that one that was on like the technical team.
Yeah, the young blonde.
Yes, the young blonde. Both of these women are dressed not professional. Like, I know one of them's supposed to be a teenager, but for the one who's working with the government, should not have been wearing what she was wearing.
Kinda it just scantily,
very, yeah, very much so. The women are overly emphasized, and Michaela's supposed to be a high school teenager. Like, and she's in these very revealing clothes the entire time, and to a point where it gets creepy.
Yeah, she's like wearing crop tops and stuff, which I get that's a look sometimes, but they overemphasize it, like you had mentioned.
Yeah, like there's a scene where they go to change and then go back out. So you would think if she was going home, like, all right, we're getting ready for battle, we're going back out, that she'd put on, you know, like normal clothes.
Long sleeves.
And then she comes out in this like super deep V-neck sweater. And it's like, yeah, clearly she did not choose her clothes at all. Like, it just doesn't make sense, especially something that you would say for this day and age, showing it to our girls now, that did not age well.
Definitely not. And what other positives or negatives came with parental guidance, Mommy?
So the language in this movie is moderate. There's nothing excessive, but you hear a variety. Violence? Extremely. An entire military base goes up in flames and screams when the Decepticons arrive. And unlike the Autobots, the Decepticons have no remorse towards humans. There's also so much gun and machinery violence throughout the entire movie that I felt like we couldn't go 10 minutes without some sort of conflict. Our girls made multiple comments about there being too much fighting. And like we had said, Amelia was ready to just up and leave movie night altogether.
Yeah, and that was at the 1 hour mark. I'd paid attention. So for a 2 hour, 24 minute movie, not good.
No, not good when she still had to sit down for another hour or so. Scary wise, the Decepticons look scary. They're in the forms of scorpions and they're just spiky looking in general. Megatron's face really upset Amelia, but I said, don't worry, he's just an angry robot, it's all good. And yeah, that calmed her down pretty quick. Grown-up stuff I mentioned a bit in the negatives already with the way they represent women and Michaela as a teenager, etc. But there are jokes about Sam being a ladies' man, enjoying self-love, wink wink, and overall teenage urges, boy gets car to impress girl and all that. All of these things went over our girls' heads, thank goodness, but just be aware that they are there and they are not hidden in any way, shape, or form.
Very in your face.
Lastly, cry factor. Amelia, you wanted to mention this one. What's something that made you sad?
It's when Bumblebee gets tied up from the humans.
Yes, this is a scene that could tug at your heartstrings, especially as Sam is screaming and wanting to help him because, yes, the humans attack Bumblebee. They try to freeze him and hurt him, and it's so sad. You're like, no, he's one of the good guys. Stop it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the scene from E.T. where, you know, humans just want to experiment on things they don't know, and this is something that can make you sad.
Right? And that we all know that Elliot scene got Amelia hard.
Oh, yes.
Hard.
And as for an age recommendation, you know your kids better than we do. We're just here to give our opinions. There's a lot of army jargon, more adult jokes, the tone, the amount of action. So I'm going to say 12 and up is probably a good age. I could be wrong, but I don't think our girls were too into this, even though Amelia picked it.
In her defense, there are kids in her class that like Transformers, but it's probably the cartoon and the toy Transformers, yeah, which is games. Vastly different from this version.
Absolutely. So Rotten Tomato critics have this movie at a 57%, which is a thumbs middle. audiences have it a lot higher at an 85%, which would be considered a thumbs up.
Wow.
Yes. Let's see how it holds up in our house. Zosha, do you give Transformers a thumbs up, a thumbs middle, or a thumbs down?
Thumbs middle.
Okay, why a thumbs middle?
Because there was too much fighting, but it was kind of long.
Okay, kind of long. Amelia?
Thumbs middle.
A thumbs middle. Okay, why?
Because for the first part, I was going to give it a thumbs down, but then it kind of got more better.
Okay, so you're glad you stayed to watch the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Mommy?
So I immediately thought I was going to go thumbs down, but I'm going to switch gears to a thumbs middle just because there are entertaining aspects to this. The pacing is horrible. There is too much violence, but if you're going to watch this with adolescents or teenagers or as an adult, it's a good popcorn movie. It'll keep you entertained. Am I going to go back to rewatch this a bunch? No. I will probably wait a solid 10 years or so before I watch Transformers again. What about you, Daddy?
I'm going to go thumbs down. If I never had to watch this movie ever again, I'd be completely fine with it. I don't think this is anywhere near some of the best of Michael Bay's work. Even though Michael Bay is not great, there's Armageddon. Like, we love Armageddon. Pearl Harbor's a fun movie. I like The Rock, the Bad Boys movies. This is nowhere near something that I want to rewatch over and over. I'm not a big fan of Transformers in general. You know, even the rest of the movies that come out after this, they never got more impressive. So, yeah, I'm going thumbs down.
Oh, yeah, no, this is the best movie of the franchise, which goes to show that we don't even have to cover the rest. It's to be thumbs down for everything after the first Transformers.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, Dark of the Moon or Dark Side of the Moon, I can't remember what it's called. I might give a thumbs middle.
I do remember that argument.
That's one that takes place in Chicago, so I do enjoy that one quite a bit.
But there's bias there.
It has bad pacing, though, as well, the third movie. But thumbs down is what I'm giving it.
So what we're really trying to say is if you're going to watch a movie about a toy, Barbie's where it's at.
That's right. And if any of you would like to add Transformers to your movie night list, it is currently available across platforms.
And after watching, let us know if you give it thumbs up, thumbs middle, or thumbs down.
And when you want to let us know what you think about the movie, please find us on social media. We like to post pictures of us on our movie nights, letting you know what snacks and sweets we're eating. We post a dad joke as well as a sneak peek clip theme to the episode coming out that week. It's a fun place to hang out.
Our Facebook is It's Movie Night, and our Instagram is It's Movie Night Pod.
Thank you for listening.
Join us next week for another movie night.
Bye. Bye.